Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
As we finish our Swerve series today, I'll remind you of a song. If you're a country music fan, it's one that you know. Carrie Underwood had a big hit with a song called Jesus, Take the Wheel. And in that song, a mom is driving on Christmas Eve to be with family, and it's snowy and cold, and she has a baby in the back seat, and she hits a patch of ice, and she swerves. She loses control, and in the song, she cries out, Jesus, take the wheel. And so as we have talked about a lot of different ways that we can swerve in life, this morning, I want us just to end with a focus on the reality that there are times in our life that we cry out, and I want us to focus on that this morning and go to God in that kind of heart this morning to cry out to Him. We've talked about swerving in this series, and we've talked about swerving on the highway, and we've talked about swerving on the highways of life, and we've talked about building guardrails and how those guardrails are put in safe areas to hopefully keep us from getting into dangerous areas. Sometimes there are guardrails in place on the highway, and sometimes there aren't. And it really does make a difference. Not always the only difference, but it does make a difference. Whenever Brent, my son, was in college, he was driving down I-20 and lost control and spun out and hit a guardrail and then just easily went on into the grassy area on the side of the highway, and he was fine, and we were thankful for that. But my family's also experienced a time where my dad was in a truck, and another car was coming down the highway and swerved to miss lumber that had fallen into the road and hit my dad, and there was no guardrail, and his truck rolled, and he did not survive that accident. Guardrails are important. Guardrails are important on the highway, and they're important on the highway of life. And you want to build those guardrails beforehand. You want to make those decisions beforehand. Put those guardrails in place in your life so that when the accident comes, when the swerve comes, when the moment that you lose control comes, some decisions have already been made and some things are already in place that will protect you, that'll keep you between the lines, that'll keep you from going off into a dangerous or a deadly area. And I hope that the series has been helpful to you. We've talked about guardrails in your finances. We've talked about guardrails in your relationships. We've talked about guardrails in your sexual life. We've talked about guardrails in some areas. I hope that's been helpful to you. But this morning, I would like to acknowledge just the reality that even with guardrails in place, swerves still happen in your life. And there are just things that occur, seasons that you go through, events that happen that cause you to swerve, that cause you to lose control. And you could have been really wise and put a guardrail in place, and it saved you from horrible damage, but you still suffered some. Or honestly, you could have been going through a season in your life where you were not very wise and you didn't have any guardrails in place. And we've all experienced those kinds of swerves, whether it be that we lost a job. Might be that one of our kids got really sick. Might be a serious illness for you or for someone in your family. Might be a decision that one of your children made. It might be an unplanned pregnancy. Might be that someone betrayed you. Might be that you went through a divorce. It might be that you or somebody you know got COVID. I was really struck again this year when we participated in our 24 hours of prayer. I was struck again at your prayer request and how many of you are going through things in your life that are hard. Seasons in your life where you're suffering. Seasons in your life where you're suffering for someone that you love and that you care about. And I was just struck at how many of you are going through things that I don't know anything about. Life is full of swerves. And this morning, I just want us to acknowledge that and take that to the Lord. He knows and He understands. And they don't take Him by surprise the way that they take us by surprise. And it would be wrong to say that what happened in the garden was a surprise, but it certainly was a swerve. And things took a turn when Adam and Eve sinned against God. And from that moment on, every person who's ever lived has experienced those kinds of swerves. And thanks be to God, He didn't abandon us when that happened. He didn't turn His face away from us. He didn't look at us and shake His head and say, you know what, they're just getting what they deserve. No, that's not the way God deals with us. God loves us and He cares about us and He steps into our swerves. He literally stepped into them when He became flesh and blood and made His dwelling here among us. And if you take a look at Jesus' time on earth, in the context of our series on swerves, you'll see that Jesus dealt with swerves in people's life constantly. If we just take a brief moment and look through the Gospels, we'll see how often people cry out to Jesus. People cry out. And Jesus is always willing to step into that moment with them when they cry out. Again, just briefly, this is not comprehensive at all, but if we just look at Mark chapter 1, Jesus was in an assembly of God's people, and a man is there with an unclean spirit, an evil spirit, and that spirit cries out during that assembly, and Jesus commands the spirit to leave the man. Mark chapter 3, Jesus is with His disciples, and the crowds are following them. And this time it isn't just one person, it's many people who are crying out to Jesus, and they're crying out to Jesus because they're sick. They're crying out to Jesus because they're hurt. They're crying out to Jesus because they have a loved one who needs help. They're crying out to Jesus because they have demons in their life. And Jesus responded to those cries. And He stepped into those situations. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus is with His disciples and they're getting out of a boat. And a man came to Jesus who everybody said was crazy and he was crying out. And Jesus put that man in his right mind. In Matthew chapter 14, again, Jesus is with His disciples. They're in a boat. He sends them on ahead, or actually they're in the boat. He sends them on ahead so that He could have some time alone with His Father. And then late that night, He walks out to them on the water. And when they saw someone on the water, they cried out. But that's not the cry that I want to focus on in this particular story. Once Peter realizes it is Jesus, Peter says, hey, I want to come to you. Let me walk on the water. And Jesus says to come. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was okay. But when he paid attention to the waves, he began to sink. And the scripture says he cried out to Jesus. And Jesus reached down and lifted him up. Over and over and over, people cry out to Jesus. And over and over and over, Jesus steps in and responds to their cry. It's the natural instinct of people to cry out. And it's the natural instinct of Jesus to help. But as we think about crying out, I want you to think about two more times that the scripture uses that phrase. And these are both when Jesus cried out. As He was hanging on the cross. And as he was bearing on his body the sins of the world, all the swerves, if we could say it that way. And in that moment, under that weight, it says that Jesus cried out. And he cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" And then as time went on the cross, at the very end, this time without actually speaking any words, it just says that Jesus cried out. And then he gave up his spirit. And he died. See, not only did Jesus come to step into our lives, to step into our swerves, to help us, to save us, Jesus literally experienced what that was like for himself. On the cross, he experienced the sum total of all the sins and swerves that we had been a part of. And so I want us just to take a moment to remember and to reflect on Jesus, on the reality that when we cry out, not only does he respond as God, but he responds as a truly, fully human person who cried out himself. Let's sing this verse of this song, and then we'll take our communion, our Lord's Supper together. He took my sin and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and suffered and died alone. Let's just sing that again. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and suffered and died alone. Take the cup. Father, we cry out to you this morning. We cry out to you as the one that we look to when we need help. And when those moments come, our minds, our thoughts, our hearts go back to Calvary, to the cross, to that moment in time when Jesus took upon himself all of our sins, all of our sorrows, all of our burdens. And he cried out for all of us. And so we take this bread, and as we do, we remember his body that's broken for us. And we take this cup, and as we do, we remember his blood that was shed for us. And we take it in Jesus' memory and in Jesus' name. Amen.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Jesus cried out to God. And that's what you do. You cry out to God. That second verse of the song I mentioned earlier from Jesus Takes the Wheel says it was still getting colder. She made it to the shoulder. The car came to a stop. She cried when she saw the baby in the back seat sleeping like a rock. And for the first time in a long time, she bowed her head to pray. She said, I'm sorry for the way I've been living my life. I know I've got to change. And from now on tonight, Jesus, take the wheel. And that's our cry. That's our cry. And we've seen that Jesus responds when we cry out. So whatever you are in the middle of this morning, whatever swerve you have experienced most recently, I just want us to give some time this morning to cry out about that. It's good to do that. It's good to cry out to Jesus and ask Him to take the wheel. And I want to remind you that when you do, He will answer. He will hear. He will listen. He will step in to your situation. He will come to you. And so I want to ask you to stand this morning. Wendell, would you mind and go and turn some of the lights down, please? I just want to lead us into a time of prayer this morning, a time where you can cry out to God. And I'll just describe some of the swerves that we all experience. But it'll be personal to you. And as I do that, I just want to ask you if I mention something that you are experiencing that is still affecting your life, I want to just ask you to take a seat. Even if I don't say something that you're specifically dealing with, if there's something in your life that you feel the need to cry out to God, as we do this, I would just like you to take a seat. And if there's someone that you love and care about that's near you and they sit down, I would encourage you to go put your hand on their shoulder. If there's just someone near you, maybe that you don't even know that well, but they are hurting this morning, I would encourage you just to put your hand on their shoulder. And we'll pray and we'll cry out to God. And then as soon as we finish that prayer verbally, as soon as I finish my prayer, just continue in that spirit of prayer, and we're going to listen to a song called Healing Grace. So, if you're dealing with a swerve this morning and you need to cry out to God, don't be ashamed of that. You're not alone. And so just have a seat as we go through this and let us join you in your cry. Father, we come to you this morning as your church, as your people, and we are thankful, so very thankful, that even though as we follow you, it doesn't keep us from experiencing the swerves of life. It doesn't keep us from experiencing the suffering and the hurt and the heartache. The fact that we belong to you does mean that we can cry out to you for help, for healing, for encouragement. And because you were fully human, you know and you understand. And you come to us and help. So this morning we boldly and unashamedly come before you and your throne of mercy. The way has been made for us to do that through the blood of our Lord Jesus. And we trust that as we cry out to you, you will help. And so I lift up to you this morning those in our family who just physically have experienced swerves. Some in our church family have just experienced some hard financial times. Some have experienced the loss of work. Father, there are those among us who are just sick. They're struggling with their health, with their body, with illness. And this is an opportunity for them to cry out to you, and we join them in that. Father, there are those in our family who have suffered the death of someone they love. Father, there are emotional swerves that we experience. There are those among us who, very honestly, just struggle with their mental health. There are those among us who are tired and exhausted. There are those among us who are dealing with depression, with anxiety. Father, they cry out to you this morning. We join them in that. Father, we experience swerves in our life in our relationships. And there are those who've been hurt by a friend or who feel like they don't have any friends. There are those who are not getting along with their husband or their wife. They're struggling in their marriage. Those who are really been hurt by their children or are hurt over their children and decisions that they have made. Father, those who are just dealing with the realities of family, even extended family and relationships, they cry out to you this morning and we join them in that. And Father, for they're just spiritual swerves that we endure. And there are just times that we have sinned. We have personally rebelled against you. We have chosen to go against your way and your will for us. And we confess that. And we cry out to you for forgiveness and mercy. Father, there are some of us who have just made a bad choice. Are made bad choices. And it's caused trouble, and we cry out to you. We're experiencing the consequences of what we have sowed. Father, for these and many others that I have not mentioned, we just take a moment to cry out to you, to ask you for help, trusting, Lord, that you will enter in to our situation and to our lives. And you will show us mercy and grace and help in our time of need. We continue this prayer, Lord, as we hear the words of this song.
Merciful God and Father, loving us like no as we come to you, we acknowledge our transgressions, we confess to you our sins, show us mercy and compassion. Touch our lives with your healing grace again. Release us from the past as we seek your face. Wash us free. Receive your love. receive your healing grace. We receive your love. We receive your healing grace. Merciful God and Father, loving us like no other, hear our prayer, the cry of our hearts, as we come to you. We acknowledge our transgressions. We confess to you our sins. Show us mercy and compassion. Touch our lives with your healing grace again. Release us from the past as we seek your face. Wash us free. We receive your love. We receive your healing grace. We receive your love. We receive your